Glad you're with us. Welcome back inside the Razorback Camper Sale Studios. Let's go to the hotline, bring in Jimmy Carter from WholeHogSports.com. Jimmy, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm kind of mentally preparing myself for my Thunder to get demolished again by the Rockets tonight. But other than that, I'm good.
Yeah, I saw a stat on Twitter, so it's got to be true. But anytime Oklahoma City's been blown out like that, they come back in the next game and win. So you don't have any faith?
Well, you know, the thing about that is a lot of those stats were compiled when they had a guy named Kevin Durant on the team. So that helped a little bit, I feel like.
Just a bad matchup with Houston?
Yeah, man. I mean, they got so much offense. And then, you know, Patrick Beverley is probably one of the two or three best point guard defenders in the NBA. So he can at least make life frustrating and difficult for Westbrook. So I'm just hoping not to get swept at this point. I think I might be going to one of the games this weekend in OKC. So hopefully they can not get annihilated when I'm in attendance. That's kind of what I'm hoping for at this point.
All right, let's talk about the Razorbacks. Scrimmage number two Saturday. What stuck out to you at that scrimmage?
I really was impressed with the way the defense looked now that they were able to do more. I mean, they were so limited with what they were able to do and how they were able to execute in the first scrimmage, pretty much just lined up in their base the entire time and were not allowed to cut tackle, to go for runners' legs. And as a result, the offense just kind of had its way the entire time and really asserted itself and was almost, you know, to the point of being dominant and averaging 7-8 yards pop whenever they ran the ball and really just looked far superior. Saturday, they still weren't able to cut tackle. They still weren't able to bring guys to go low to bring guys down, you know, just a safety precaution, which makes sense in spring ball. But they were able to do a little bit more. They played some nickel, which brings Kevin Richardson into the picture. They switched stuff around. They moved Carl Rossler from defensive end to one of the outside linebacker spots to the heavier of the two, the Hog. And they were able to just do more scheme-wise. They were able to stunt on the defensive line, and it wasn't as straightforward. And they really, for the most part, Devon Whaley had a long run, and the offense ended up scoring on that drive as a result of it. But other than that, really the defense pretty clearly won the day as far as we're talking about the starters. They were really good. They didn't give up much in the run game. They did a good job holding the edge, which obviously was such a big issue last year and, you know, really probably the main reason that the defense was as bad as it was. And really both scrimmages I've been super, super impressed with their two starting corners. Ryan Pooley looks like he could have an All-SEC type season. He's been really, really good. And the thing I love about his game and the way he plays is that he has so much confidence and he plays with such a passion that anytime he makes a play, which has been a lot so far, everybody hears about it and everybody knows about it because he makes sure that they do. And Austin Allen, I think, kind of likes that rivalry. He's talked about how they'll have a little back and forth, and Austin will let him know anytime that he does make a play on Ryan. Saturday, he didn't make many. Henry Tolliver was really good. And whenever they do go to the nickel, Kevin Richardson looked really impressive. Had a few really nice hits. He's not the biggest guy, but played really physical. Had a few good plays in pass coverage. And I think those three corners are probably, at this point, what I would identify as the strength of the defense and maybe the most impressive part of the defense so far. I think Austin Allen was 7-16. So they did a really nice job and made some really good plays on the football. All of those guys have experience, and you feel like they you know, obviously they've seen the war. They've been through the wars and seen a lot of football in the SEC, and I think that kind of shows. They've been really impressive. But the defense as a whole was much improved Saturday, and maybe that was a better picture for what they can be, just given the fact that they're able to do more.
We're talking with Jimmy Carter, WholeHogSports.com. In this 3-4 defense, the nose tackle, what does that mean? How important is that position? Because I like Bijan Jackson and Austin Capps there, and I like how they're pushing each other. is how big is that nose position in this defense?
Yeah, you look at it, and Austin Cass is kind of a little bit undersized for what a typical. I mean, you go to look at Alabama or LSU's roster. The guy that's playing in the middle, the guy that's playing the nose on their defensive lines is typically a pretty hefty guy, sort of like a Bijan Jackson in that weight range. Arkansas tried to sign a few guys late in this recruiting class that kind of fit that description. Austin Cass is a little bit smaller, but I think he's been really, really physical. He's good with his hands. He's just country strong, maybe for lack of a better word, better term. He's been really impressive, I think, to them, and obviously that's evidenced by him starting over Bijan, and I think that's kind of given them the luxury to move Bijan around and see what he could look like at end, give them some more bulk on the outside. The end is basically like a defensive tackle, more of a defensive tackle than an end position, really. But I think they like what they have at end right now. So in all reality, they'll probably end up with a two-man rotation of Caps and Bijan at the nose. And as little playmaking as you saw from the interior of Arkansas's defensive line last year, maybe with the exception of Sosa, but even they moved him out to end some. I think that they feel like this can be a strength. Austin Cass was just a freshman last year. He's still a young guy, and so I think it's natural to expect him to progress and to be a different player, both physically and just the way he plays this year. They have really raved about how Bijan has trimmed up, and I think that's something that is no secret that he's needed to do for quite a while. He had an injury that kind of hurt him, set him back a little bit, and maybe he added a little bit of weight right before spring practice. That might be hampering him somewhat now, but if he is truly dedicated to managing and maintaining his weight, then I think that he's definitely somebody that has the size. He's got the best size on the team to play that position in the 3-4. So it'll be interesting. I don't know that I would really identify that position as a strength so far, but they do have two options, and it'll be interesting to see how they continue to develop.
How is Sosa doing? Has it been a quiet spring for him, or is it, we have such high expectations after a pretty darn good freshman year. How is McTelvin Agim Sosa looking out there?
I would say quiet is a decent word for it. He's typically someone that whenever you ask the coaching staff, I mean, it's the spring, they're going to be incredibly positive about pretty much everyone, and they are with him, but it's nothing over the top. They haven't really acted like they've been blown away by anything that he's done. In the scrimmages, he attracts a lot of attention. I mean, that's just, he's by far the most talented, most physically gifted defensive lineman they have. So he does tend to attract attention, but that's something that he's going to have to get used to because it's going to carry over into the season. I wonder if it's just him adjusting to playing in a three-man front and just the different ways that offenses deal with that, and just different stuff that he's asked to do. Like I said, there's no question that he's by far the most physically gifted defensive lineman. And, I think that last year they really had to stress to him repeatedly to play within the scheme, and that was important because in high school he was able to dominate and, go off script, so to speak, and get away with it because he was just that talented. And in college, he's not going to be able to do that as much. I think that's something they stressed with him last year, and I think he's improved on it. Maybe that's still a work in progress. He hasn't had a huge spring, but I don't know that that's necessarily cause for alarm because he's still just so talented, and he's able to do stuff physically that probably no one else on that defensive line can do. At least not on a consistent basis that he's able to when he's playing well.
Jimmy Carter joins us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Follow him on Twitter at @NWAJimmy. Let's talk about the offense. Over on the offensive side of the ball, any wide receiver step up in the absence of Jared Cornelius? Did anyone catch your eye?
Yeah, it's interesting. So Deion Stewart has kind of been that second guy. So he was, the de facto number one Saturday. He hasn't really done much in either scrimmage. I don't know that you need to read a whole lot into that necessarily, but he hasn't really done a whole lot. Jordan Jones had a huge first scrimmage and got to play more with the first team on Saturday. He actually got out there before LaMichael Petway, which was a reversal of the first week. He didn't have any catches. So by far the most impressive of the receivers was Brandon Martin, still working with the second team, but he made some two really impressive catches in particular. I think he ended up with maybe 6 for 75. He caught one pass over the middle and about 15 yards down the field from Cole Kelly. Caught it, turned, and right after just completely trucked DeAndre Coley, which, I mean, obviously DeAndre Coley is probably the best hitter on this football team, most physical hitter, and Martin completely ran him over. That drew more of a player and crowd reaction than just about any play in the scrimmage, because you just don't see that happen. And it just kind of shows you how big and how physical Martin is. He had another play. The defense worked Josh Sedella at nickelback, so and this may have been one of those plays, but Martin in the back of the end zone kind of nudged Sedella to create a little separation and went up high to high point a throw from Cole Kelly in the back of the end zone for about a 20-yard score, 18-yard score. Those two were really impressive plays and just kind of displayed his physicality, his size. I mean, he's a big guy. So it's kind of just been all three really open practices that we've seen. The majority of there have been different guys who've stepped up. So I don't know that they really have a set pecking order at this point, other than Jared Cornelius is one. Deion Stewart seems to be two. And then I think the three-man combination of LaMichael Petway, Jordan Jones, and Brandon Martin are sort of all right there together. And it just kind of depends on – they each have different strengths. They each have really good things, like physically about them, Jones' speed, Martin's size, and Petway's got a good combination of that, and he's really got good hands. And so I think they've got options. If those three can come along and they can have a nice five-man rotation at receiver this fall, I think that would be huge. And I think that's kind of what they're hoping for, because all three of those guys have shown flashes this spring. And so it's about putting it together consistently. And I think that's kind of what they're looking for as their wind down spring practice.
Is there a pecking order at tight end yet?
Man, well, that's what's hard, right? Because Jeremy Patton gets here in the summer, so you don't know where he's going to fit into that. I mean, you think they didn't bring him in to fit the bench. So he's going to more than likely, everything indicates that he's going to play a bunch. As far as guys that are on campus, Austin Cantrell is clearly going to play a lot. He is by far the best blocker that they have at the position. He's just so physical. He's gotten better catching the ball. He talked the other day about he's gained weight, so he's not as fast as he was whenever he got on campus, which they need him to be bigger and stronger to block, because that's really what he's primarily out there for. But maybe hurts him a little bit in the past game, but he's had some nice moments, and he's a big enough guy that whenever he does catch it, if it's a DB on him or a DB coming to tackle him, he can win that matchup at times. Behind him, I think, it's a big spring for Cheyenne O'Grady, because he is the most gifted receiving tight end on the team at this point, without question. And Patton kind of fits into that same mold. So I think it was really important that CJ took a step forward this spring and showed the coaches how dedicated maybe he was, or how focused or locked in he was, so that he can set himself up to be in a position to be one of their two or three tight ends that they play in the fall. And I think he's done that. I think it'll be interesting to see kind of how playing time shakes out with him and Patton, because, I mean, Patton's so highly rated. He got such a great, he's 6'6", 270 or 6'6", 260. And so physically, he's great, but so is CJ O'Grady. So I think that's going to be interesting. Then you got, Jack Krause. He's a good blocking tight end. And he's a guy that's been around the program, knows exactly what he's supposed to do. Will Gregg has come on, but I don't really know that at this point he's someone that's going to play or really factor in a game setting in the fall unless he takes a huge step. It'll be interesting. And then you got to throw in Hayden Johnson because they are continuing to work him at tight end. And he's had his moments, and he's a good blogger. So potentially he could factor in there. I think he might actually factor in before Will Gregg if it came down to it. That's probably the deepest position on the team, easily, maybe. And that's without Patton. So it'll be really interesting once they add him to the mix because I do think someone like O'Grady is taking a step to maybe – push him for playing time so that they have three tight ends.
Jimmy, great stuff as always, man. I appreciate your time. Thank you for coming on. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, man. Have a good one.